Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If the God of the Bible really exists, I would go gladly to hell. And anybody happy to go to heaven to worship such a creature is morally bankrupt.
It is because God's wrath is real that his mercy is relevant. Unless you have a real wrath, the biblical concepts of mercy and of grace are robbed of their meaning.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All right. Fine already. This is Wretched Radio. Yikes, the number of people downright demanding, would you please provide a biblical critique of Richard Rohr's theology and anthropology as demonstrated in his Enneagram works? Fine, we'll do it. Just stop pushing me. Recently received a dissertation for an individual who is studying to become a doctor of theology. His name is Ren Cherry. He happens to be at the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. And what you're about to hear is his dissertation on Richard Rohr. You say, I have no interest in him. I say you should, because he has been the one most influential when it comes to a trend that has swept evangelical Christianity. Enneagrams. Think red duck with the purple moon. This is one of those very intriguing. There is something about these tests that we just dig. It tells you about you, what type of personality you have, why you do the things that you do. Now, as a Christian, I always thought we had a book to tell us this already. Nevertheless, evangelicals are digging the Enneagram, and you should be aware, as is the case with virtually everything you see at a popular level, there is always going to be a higher level of intellectualism, philosophy, religion, spirituality that's baked into it. It doesn't sound that way when it hits the streets. It sounds like, I don't know, let's just say a helpful analytical tool. Well, if it can be helpful, if it can help me, then what's wrong with it? This dissertation will answer that question. Several influential evangelical Christian leadership ministries have promised the Enneagram as a tool in forming and maintaining effective ministry teams. And the personality typology has been taught and embraced at several Christian universities. In other words, it be everywhere. It is designed to help you become better at what it is that you're doing, have a better understanding of yourself, and on a corporate level, how an institution should run based on the personality types of the people who make up said organization. Richard Rohr is behind much of this. Did you know that he's a Catholic priest, popular author, influenced several Enneagram authors that are popular among evangelicals? So while he perhaps has not written a book that you've read, he has influenced people that you have read. Rohr has taught a panentheism. Difference between panentheism and pantheism is the letter E, a way which also tells us that it is a slight distinction. I'm not sure it's worth getting a headache over, but basically, pantheism, everything is God. Panentheism, God is in everything. Richard Rohr is a panentheist, based on a belief that the first of multiple incarnations occurred at creation and that all of mankind is already in Christ. He is also taught that man is good by nature and that original sin is a burdensome mental construct that was popularized by Augustine. You say, Augustine, in the 5th century. Rohr has also maintained that multiple paths exist to God and that no one religion can claim to have knowledge in an exclusive way of salvation. That's the fellow who is behind Enneagram, which perhaps you're using, maybe your church is starting to apply it to figuring out how we can be a better body together. There's something behind it that maybe is not met on the surface, but it is brewing and simmering underneath. We should know this. It should be instructive. When you have an individual like Richard Rohr, who is clearly outside of Christian orthodoxy by virtually any standard except for the ELCA, of course, you should go, hey, how I might I be influenced by this fellow? Does any of that come out? Let's continue with our dissertation. Based on the theological and anthropological doctrines about human beings taught by Richard Rohr that are in conflict with Orthodox evangelical theology and anthropology, the Enneagram should be abandoned and rejected as non-Christian. Well, there you have it. Ren Cherry from ACBC, not hiding his cards, making the case, and he's written a lengthy dissertation on this subject. It just has too much bad to be considered anything good. His call, put it in the trash heap of evangelical trends. Can Rohr's panentheism and multiple paths to God ever be accurately labeled as Christian when they deny so many of the core doctrines of the Bible? The Enneagram presents a dangerous shift in focus away from the holiness of the God of the Bible and towards the discovery of a mythical good true self, capital true, capital self, that does not exist. The Enneagram also presents a danger of mischaracterizing man's problem as one of mistaken identity instead of one of total depravity. The focus is off. You just don't know yourself well enough. We're going to help you to understand all the wonderful things about you. Well, here's what's wonderful about you. Nothing. But God loves us. Anyway, the Enneagram version of the restoration of man looks like reconnection with his original good true self. Whenever you see terms like true self, the real you, that also has philosophical systems baked into them. That you're in there. Your id is maybe covered up by your ego or your superego, and we need to go digging until we find out the real you so that you can behave the way that you want to. Sound Freudian? It's because that is what he believed. And there are many other philosophers that hold to this. A lot of different, even Marxist philosophers, believe that it is about finding the you in there to live the way that you want to. That also happened to be an emphasis in romantic philosophy. Romantic philosophy being, you got to figure out what makes you happy because you've just been oppressed by outside things. We need to break those shackles so that you can be the real you. That's similar to being your true self. And that's what the Enneagram seeks to do. It seeks to help you figure out you so that you can do, I do like to write in a journal a lot. I do like walks on the beach. That's what I need to be doing. It's designed to help. But when the framework is flawed, and when the tools that are designed to help you actually mislead you, then while it might be that it has some things that are revealing, I get it. I remember taking one of these tests years ago. I was taking some courses at, well, they called it a seminary, but nevertheless, it was some sort of Christian shebang, and they insisted that you take one of these, are you a blue elephant with yellow roses for your personality or whatever it is. And I remember taking it and reading the results and going, that's amazing. And so it is with the Enneagram. It's kind of like, oh, cool, because it's about my favorite subject, me. And it speaks about me, and it tells me all about me, and it affirms me. And it can indeed, I get it. I to say that it doesn't help in some way, shape, or form, I think would be unfair. But is it worth it, considering from whence it came and what it aims to do? Although the intent, writes Mr. Cherry, although the intent of some evangelicals who teach the Enneagram may be sincere, Christians who hold to an orthodox theology are called to separate themselves from heretical teaching like Richard Rohr's theology and anthropology. This particular dissertation goes on then to show how Richard Rohr's theology makes its way into the vernacular of popularizers of the Enneagram. And it spills out everywhere, and it's not overt, but it is undoubtedly there. And so it is, we can spend the next 10 weeks working through this dissertation. Or we can perhaps ask some more helpful questions. Why are people so attracted to these things? Why are you perhaps so attracted to it? What is it that is driving you to do a test about you, to figure out you? And I would suggest to you there could be many reasons. One, you don't have anybody who can help you. There's nobody who you think knows you so well that they can get in there and understand the true self of me. Isn't that what the local church is for? Isn't this what brothers and sisters are for? And if you say, well, yeah, that's all well and good, but I don't have one of those and I'm not really involved, then maybe, just maybe, that could be a big problem. You need to be more engaged in your local church so that more people know you better who can help you understand your true self. Could it be that it is a low view of the Bible that encourages you to seek information about yourself elsewhere? If we believe the Bible is sufficient for all of life and godliness, then it should be sufficient to help me understand myself and what it is that I should be doing for a living. Take time to figure out what is motivating a search for information outside of scriptures regarding yourself. And I suspect you might have a revelation that is far more helpful than the panentheistic enneagram. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining us on Wretched Radio today. Have you checked out Wretched TV yet? Yep, Wretched TV is a daily 30-minute program hosted by Todd with witnessing encounters, discussions on tough theological issues, and other topics the Christians are facing today. And it's simple to watch. Just check out your local listings for one of the 135 stations and networks that air Wretched TV, or if you'd like, you can log on to wretched.org/TV. And Wretched TV is also available on Roku, Amazon Prime, Truly, and Amazon Fire TV Stick. We've made it extremely simple for you to find Wretched TV, and we owe it all, of course, to our gospel partners. It's only because of their efforts that we're able to make Wretched TV available to everybody. If you're not already a gospel partner, we would love for you to prayerfully consider becoming one. You can help us to continue taking Wretched all over the world in our goal of preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for that to continue, we need you. Just visit wretched.org/donate to join us as a gospel partner. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
You say Edith in Romania, they say Edith.
Burdened by the hopelessness surrounding her, Edith prayed for a way to bring the gospel to Çakale. Since she started in 2008, she has discipled more than 100 children in this small village, and countless lives have been changed.
If you have never been to Romania, permit me to draw the picture. Think poor, forsaken, dead town in the middle of nowhere. That is where the Tomorrow Clubs thrive. Kids clubs bringing the gospel to small villages. The kids get saved. The parents get saved. The church gets revitalized. And this is happening all over Eastern Europe, courtesy of the Tomorrow Clubs and you. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Clubs? TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
You know the worst part about moving? All of it, if you're actually the one doing the moving. But if you just happen to be a bystander to someone else who's moving, well, you could possibly wind up scoring big, and that's where you might be finding yourself right now. Because the Wretched Warehouse is moving later this year, and because we really don't want to lug a warehouse full of gospel booklets, you're going to have the chance to save big. All of our gospel booklets are on sale. That's Are You a Rotten Fish?, The Man Who Split Time?, 13 Reasons Not to Commit Suicide?, Don't Stub Your Toe?, and What Time is Purple? And our desire is for you to take these booklets and hand them out to everyone you know everywhere you go. We want to help you spread the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's priority number one. But if you can help us not break a sweat or break our backs during our upcoming move, well, that's just icing on the cake. Check out our gospel booklets on sale right now at the Wretched Store by visiting wretched.org. That's wretched.org.
Books of the Bible. The book of Daniel is about one man who submits to God above all else and God's faithfulness to his people in all circumstances. Daniel's prophetic visions teach us that God raises up and tears down kingdoms. All earthly kingdoms will pass away, but God will establish an everlasting kingdom. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What a pleasant surprise. This is Wretched Radio. An impromptu guest here on Wretched Radio. Somebody who entered the studio to take pictures. But that's not what we're going to discuss. Get over here, Emily. You happen to be an individual who has at least looked at the Enneagram enough to kind of get you. You understand how the deal works. You're going to have to talk into this microphone.
Talking into this microphone.
Okay, but closer to this microphone.
I'm talking into this microphone.
You're
closer.
You're loving every single moment,
loving
aren't you?
It.
Okay, to demonstrate how intriguing the Enneagram is, M, based on what you know about the Enneagram, based on what you know about moi, what am I?
Probably like
okay. This microphone needs to be near your mouth.
Right.
Okay, go.
Probably a one.
I'm number one. What does that mean?
You're like the perfectionist.
Yeah.
You know what's right, what's wrong? Like, say for instance, if I should be speaking closer into this microphone or if I should be farther away.
Exactly.
Amazing. Tell me more about me.
Great. So you're like...
get closer to the microphone or you're grounded. Okay, that happens to be my daughter who is just as reticent to be on the microphone as I am to have my picture taken by her right now. There's something about the Enneagram that makes you go, yeah, you've spoken to my heart. You know me. Somebody affirms me. If you are attracted to these things, I get it. But I think you would do well to just do what the Enneagram asks you to do, but more biblically. Why do I like this stuff? Why am I attracted to a system that tells me about me, puts me in a category, makes me an animal or a star or whatever it is, or a number or a direction? I'm a 7 East with Midwestern fours sprinkled in with the elephants that are purple or whatever the thing is. What is it that causes you to be attracted to those things? And I would say this, even though this might actually get up somebody's nose, I understand that there can be some value in these. For instance, not to make it about me, but as long as we're talking about my favorite subject... What a one thing to say. I get it. Okay, so my daughter just said, she's a Enneagram shaming me. How do you like to be at our dinner table? Do you think anybody gets a word in edgewise? Ha. This system of figuring out like what you like and don't like, it was actually helpful to me when I was considering a career change. Oh, do I want to do this? Want to do this? So I get that. But at the same time, I want to get what somebody's trying to get at with me. Don't think that Richard Rohr, who's behind much of the Enneagram business, doesn't have an agenda. He wants you to believe the same way he believes. He wants you to be New Agey, universalist. He is an evangelist for his, well, heretical thinking. And it's going to get in there. Which is why we need to be super careful about utilizing these things. If you're gonna, you better make sure you've got some mastery over it, and you should be aware of what is trying to be done, because if it is used beyond something that might be insightful, that causes you to go, you know what, this really helped me bring some clarity. I'm going to pursue a career in, cool. But if you're susceptible... Or you do not discern well what some false teachings look like when they're packaged up in modern-day parlance, then just find a better way. And never, ever, ever make a career-type decision without seeking wisdom, not from the Enneagram, but from other believers, perhaps especially your family. The local church should be the place. The local church should be our Enneagram. There you go. Jimmy, there's a tweet right there. The local church should be our Enneagram.
Amen.
It should know.
Yeah.
We should be close enough with somebody at church that they can tell us, dude, seriously? You want to do that? No. I know you. Let's talk about this. Not over Starbucks, because I think we're boycotting them this month. Make sure that if you're making a career decision, that it is done with the wisdom of other believers. The biblical pattern for decision making is one, pray for wisdom, that God would help you to be really smart and biblical. Two, you read the Bible on the subject. Three, you consult with Christians who are biblical to receive their wisdom. Four, you consider your preference. Five, you make a decision, and that's God's will for your life. Bada bing, bada boom. Where does the Enneagram fit in that? Not really, does it? And if it does in some way, shape, or form, it should be a footstool at best, and not the primary way we go about the business of making decisions. We hope that you enjoyed our very special guest today as much as she enjoyed and revealed her ability to speak rightly into the microphone.
I'm sorry.
Let's get to it, shall we? What's Thanksgiving like at the Friels? Like your families. Chaotic insanity. Let's get to some celebrity news, shall we? Gene Simmons defending Tim Tebow for making a return to the NFL. Friel, how exactly is that a Christian story? I'll be honest with you, it's not. But it sure does allow me to share with you a little picadillo. I learned this about myself on the Enneagram, by the way. Oops.
Let it go.
Gene Simmons saying about Tim Tebow, who's getting mocked for making a return back to football. I support Tim Tebow, said the 71-year-old Kiss singer. He was widely criticized and made fun of simply because he's a man of faith who believed in his Christian values. Shame on the NFL and the rest of the world for stooping so low. What makes that Christian? Nothing other than that was the seventh paragraph of the article. Seventh paragraph. Here's the headline. Gene Simmons defends Tim Tebow from backlash to potential NFL return. What should be in the first paragraph? I don't know. How's about the Kiss guy actually sharing the tweet, and then the article explores that instead? No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 paragraphs before we get to the lead. If you're thinking about becoming a writer, whether Enneagram confirmed or not, don't bury the lead! This article didn't. It happens to be an article about the tweet of one Caleb Kennedy. You perhaps know the name if you are one of the 60, maybe 70 people who still watch American Idol. He was a contestant who's been booted because, well, that's right. Some private information came out disqualifying from being a singer on a talent show. What came out of the closet of this young man's past? He was in a picture with a friend who appeared to have something of a white hood on that was deemed to be a KKK-like hood, and therefore he was kicked off the show. The young man then went about the business of apologizing. I'm so sorry, I'm disappointed. And yet his mom came out and said, his friend wasn't wearing a KKK hood. It was actually from a character in a movie that they were watching at the time. Regardless of those details, the young man in question is currently 16. That picture was taken 4 years ago. 4 years ago, when he was 12. And the producers at ABC or whoever it is that's in charge of these decisions, Ryan Seacrest, we'll just put it on. Oh, Simon Cowell, he did it because he's mean. And he was the most interesting thing about the entire program. Nevertheless, they fired the kid, kicked him off. They canceled him. He done got doxed. A 12-year-old, let's just say that the picture was in bad taste. I haven't seen the picture. I don't know if it was or wasn't. It's not the point. The point is that we're punishing 12-year-olds for making dumb decisions. When the world tells you that Christians are judgmental, remind them of young Caleb Kennedy. When the world says Christians aren't very loved, they're not very nice, therefore God doesn't exist. One of the worst syllogisms ever concocted. Well, I like nice people. Sometimes Christians aren't nice. Therefore, God doesn't exist. That doesn't work out logically. Nevertheless, it would be as if I said, you know, Adolf Hitler was an atheist and he was really, really bad. Therefore, God does exist. That syllogism doesn't work either. But the world will tell you Christians are mean and terrible. I got to tell you something. Christianity doesn't even come close to the cruelty that was inflicted on this young man. He was 12. 12 years old. He can't drive. He can't live on his own. He can't vote. He can't drink. He doesn't do nothing adult-like at 12 in this country. Don't let the world deceive you. When they talk about a loveless individual, they are speaking of themselves. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, several female athletes have turned to activism to shed some light on the competitive disadvantage that they're experiencing competing against biologically born males who say they identify as female to compete in women's sports. The Equality Act has allowed these transgender people to do so, but it's come at the actual cost of women losing in their team sports. Now, some women are speaking out against the Equality Act, with one, Linnea Saltz, who has reached out to the NCAA to request an update to their policy regarding transgender female athletes, and the NCAA has responded to Saltz by telling her that the rules are as they are, and that's not going to change. But what proponents of the Equality Act aren't realizing is that the Equality Act is robbing biologically born women of an opportunity to make their lives better through sports. The Equality Act is actually erasing the definition of womanhood and allowing anyone to claim spaces, whether it be on sports teams and restrooms and crisis shelters and hospital wards, really just whatever they want. Well, Pastor Tim Stevens of Calgary is just one of a number of people who've been arrested and charged in the past few weeks in Alberta after the government brought in a new protocol in early May to increase enforcement against COVID. They've been targeting individuals, organizations, and businesses. Police say Stevens was arrested for organizing a church service on Sunday at Fairview Baptist Church in violation of a bench order that requires organizers of events to comply with public health restrictions. Churches are currently limited to a maximum occupancy of 15 people in Alberta, and restricting the church to 15 people, which essentially restricts the church from gathering, is against the will of Christ and against the conscience of many who desire to worship the Lord of glory according to his word. And that's a quote directly from Pastor Stevens, written on his blog earlier this month. Well, the University of Massachusetts Amherst has suspended 3 students over a maskless photo which was taken off campus. The women were flagged after another student sent the university a picture of them not wearing masks at a party in March. So UMass kicked the students out of campus housing and made them attend class virtually while they reviewed the case. The students' appeals ultimately were denied, and they were barred from finishing the semester, and that cost them $16,000 of non-refundable tuition. The families of the suspended students reportedly have hired an attorney and will be filing lawsuits over the penalties, which they should. I mean, I get it. Look, we all have different opinions on the mask issue and COVID stuff in general. I get that. But come on, we got to be reasonable here. I could somewhat understand something like this happening if it happened on campus. But off campus? That's kind of extending your realm of authority, isn't it? More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Mexico. Pneumatology is a study of the Holy Spirit. Scripture reveals that the Holy Spirit is a person, not a force or manifestation, and He is God, the third member of the Trinity. His work is not to provide emotional highs or show up in glory clouds or gold dust. The work of the Holy Spirit is to bear witness to the Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
A perfectionist. It's ridiculous. Sit up straight, Jimmy. This is Wretched Radio. Let us continue with celebrity. She thought I was a perfectionist. Why, I ought to just...
Was she wrong?
I like to think of it in more spiritual terms.
Which are?
The gift of discernment.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Just tell you everything that's wrong about everything. It's It's a burden, I'll be honest with you, because there's so much you'd like to correct, and yet you realize, you know, people just aren't receptive to being told.
It's really hard knowing everything.
Oh, tell me about it. Oh, I know that to be true. Let's return to celebrity news, shall we? Gotta figure out the Disney business, is what I'm thinking. I understand why we read headlines like, Cinderella's new fairy godmother is here to teach us magic has no gender. Or, headline, Disney Plus to feature gay couple in the Proud Family reboot. And it grieves your heart, and it bums you out, and it feels almost like your childhood has been assaulted. I can't share these things with my kids now. I can't just watch Disney as that family-friendly Tinkerbell flying around the Magic Castle with the great theme music on a Saturday night. Oh, the good old day. They're gone. Boy, do I get that. But I think we maybe, just maybe, in an effort to help the world not just see us as disgruntled malcontents, I think my heart needs to get a handle on these things. Because I get that same angsty feeling that perhaps you get about this. Oh, come on, Disney. Come on! It's Disney! Now get in line! Well, the reality is they're not in line. It's not a Christian organization. It's a secular organization, and it is increasingly being run by secular people who have a secular agenda. And that is corporate America everywhere, isn't it? I mean, have we not seen that really evidently, when it comes to the issue for COVID, for instance, would be a good example. The government says, do this. And the industries, for the most part, say, you betcha. Then, however, when the government says, you don't have to do that anymore, they keep doing it. Why? Because they're determining how they want their customers to behave. Right, wrong, or indifferent, I'm just saying that they absolutely have an increasing secular agenda, and they're willing to flex their corporate muscle to try to impose those values on as many people as possible. That's our world. And there's a part of it that causes you to go, then you know what, I'm just going to get out of the fight. But I don't want to, because it's better another way. Yep, I get that too. But maybe remembering that secular corporations are not your friend is helpful. Fox News is not your friend. Disney is not your friend. Coca-Cola is not your friend. So when you read about corporations doing these things, rather than letting it annoy us, which is different than righteous indignation, maybe, just maybe, it's helpful to recognize that we are living in a world that has indeed changed. We're Abraham now. We're foreigners in a strange land, aren't we? And I think that is in many aspects good. Not in all of them, because it's not good the direction that our country is being led in and seems to be willing to follow quite happily. Unquestioningly, it can be good for us. John lists at least 10 different ways that you can know that you're a Christian. And here's one of them. Brace yourself for this. If you love the world, you have no part of God. Period. Not vague, not confusing. If you love the world, you don't love the Lord. Now, what is the world? It's the world system. It's not the stuff. It's not the planet. It's not physical objects per se. It's the systems, the philosophies, the thinking, the attitudes, even the experiences that are not godly. That's the world, better stated, world system. And if you love it, then you don't love God. And I would simply ask you to spend a moment thinking about, is it possible that I'm loving the world too much? Now, there's a fine balance, isn't there? Being grateful, desiring a better country than the one that was handed down to us. And I get that. I'm not dismissing any of that. But are we too attached to this world system? Is it being revealed by our consternation over the current political climate and the mores and the values and the social justice business? And it might, maybe it's COVID for you. Is it possible that it's revealing? I didn't realize how much I dug it being easy. I didn't realize how sweet it was that we have these freedoms to do these things, because now that they seem to be getting strangled to a degree, it's like, hey, I don't like this. And I don't think we have to like it. But that's a different side of the aisle than loving it and needing it. There was, okay, we're watching a show. I didn't even know the name of it. It's yet another BBC period piece. Okay, it's better than Hallmark. Not much, but it's better than Hallmark. And we're watching this thing, and the guy has known this young lady, has seen her grow up, and he loves her, and he proposes to her. I can't think of the name of it was made in 2001. Little grainy, nevertheless. He was saying to the young lady, I love you. You're the only one who can make me happy. If I don't have your love, I can't live. I must have you as my wife because I adore you so much. And I went, well, there's idolatry. It's one thing to go, yeah, I dig that, Goyle. I'd like to be married to that woman. Versus, I've got to be married to that woman. That's the line I'm talking about here. You can read a Disney story and go, I get that. But what we can't do is feel somehow like we've been personally slighted, or that things are in danger, or that things are never going to be good again. I think that's the line. And that fellow who was proposing, I think, revealed it amorously. He needed it. I don't need Disney. It's nice that people who are really good at what they do make stuff that amuses the kids. It's nice. Taking the kids to a movie with the popcorn, that can be fun, like Pixar. All right, there's another one, Pixar. They apparently they've got some gay characters now too. Okay, yeah, all right, bummer. But if you're really super angsty, you're super feeling like, this is not good anymore. Examine your heart and just see what's going on in there, and don't waste the crumbling of a nation. Forget about don't waste your cancer. Don't waste the crumbling of a nation. That's what we appear to be living in right now. Without being a doomsayer, I don't know how a nation can stand. Historically, they can't. And by the way, that's another message from a crumbling culture. We can't pull this off. We need God. I just heard somebody say, sleep is a reminder that you're going to die. Every time you go to bed, it should be a reminder, I'm going to die one day. And sleep is just a little precursor to that, in that you sleep. Now you wake up. You're not promised it, but you wake up. It's a temporary sleep. One day, nighty-night, Nurse Nickel, it's going to be a permanent affair. And sleep should remind you of that. And when we see a nation crumble, I think it should remind us, well, human beings can't pull off nation running, at least not for forever. And I think back to Daniel and his vision, the big statue made with different elements. And what caused the whole thing to crumble in the strongest part of the empire, Rome, in this instance? The stone, Jesus Christ, crumbles. And one day, he's going to have a nation. It's called his kingdom, and it's populated by his people, and the ruler is himself, and everything he does is benevolent and right, and his citizens will rejoice forever, and nothing is going to ever change that. In fact, the only aspect, if you will, of eternity changing is that it's just going to keep getting better and better and better and better and richer and deeper and more profound with every single observation and understanding about God. That is what this crumbling should remind us of. This is not my home. And I know we got to work some things out with, you know, we want to save this. We don't want that to happen. I get all of that. We're talking about the heart. And maybe one of the things that will help me was we see the country just go kafritz. God's going to do better. And it's going to be amazing. And I can't wait for that day. This is Wretched Radio. What does a young lady experiencing a crisis pregnancy sound like?
I was afraid. I was scared. I didn't know what to do. Everybody wanted me to have an abortion.
Everybody wanted her to have an abortion, but she visited a preborn life center, saw a free ultrasound of her baby.
I'm going to keep my baby, and I'm going to be a great mom.
80% of the time, a woman in crisis sees an image of her child via a free ultrasound at a preborn center, they choose life. How many lives could you save per month? The answer is double. During the month of May, Preborn has received a generous gift of matching grants. Every dollar you give to Preborn will be matched. So $28 for an ultrasound will now provide two ultrasounds. How many lives could you save? Visit preborn.org/wretched.
Like a lot of believers, you may be wondering how you can incorporate heartfelt worship into your private devotion times. Well, I want to introduce you to the newest resource available in the Wretched Store. It's called Face to Face, Praying the Scriptures for Intimate Worship, and it's by Dr. Kenneth Boa. Face to Face is perfect for anybody who wants to get more personal and more intimate in their private times with the Lord. And what better way to do that than actually praying God's Word back to Him? Face to Face will walk you through an accurate and biblical and intimate approach to doing just that. With prayers like, Blessed be your name. Lord God, forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to you. You change the times and the seasons. Prayers like these will bring richness to your devotion times by connecting God's word to your personal prayer time, and you'll learn to approach both in a new and meaningful way. Visit wretched.org/face to pick up your copy right now. wretched.org/face.
Yes, you want to save money because, after all, you're a Christian and that's what we want to do, save money, but never at the expense of our family's health and peace of mind should a family member fall ill. That is why I'd like to commend you MediShare, the gold standard of healthcare sharing. You will save, on average, $500 per month as a family. How much will you save? It takes 2 minutes. 844-34-BIBLE. And if you think, well, this isn't very good, you get free telehealth services with MediShare, a huge network of doctors with MediShare, and great customer support. And fellow Christians will pray for you. MediShare, 400,000 members strong. Peace of mind and savings. Simply call 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
Important dates in Christian history. 1206. Francis of Assisi renounces wealth and goes on to lead a band of poor friars preaching the simple life. The 13th century saw the rise of a number of monastic orders dedicated to simple living and social engagement. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yes. Yes, I do know that I've already played this. Just wanted to remind you, we got a theme going on here. Because you're listening to the most organized Christian radio program on this station at this time, known as Wretched Radio. Let's get back to it, shall we? Richard Dawkins, he's definitely a celebrity, and proving who knew, he's a romantic. And I don't mean that he brings his wife flowers and takes her out to a fancy dinner. I mean, philosophically, he's a romantic. Looking forward to season 3. Of Road Trip to Truth. Season 2 is actually in the can, man. And we are beginning to work on the study guide for that. Don't forget, Road Trip to Truth, season 1, the study guide. It's amazing. And I'm telling you, The reviews, people are gobbling it up. Why? Because the kids are gobbling it up. They are there. It's like, yes, now we're talking about some stuff that I've been dealing with these issues and objections to God and the veracity of the Bible and how my worldview fits, because it just feels so opposite of what I'm hearing everywhere I go. Road Trip to Truth, amazing. We're working on season 3 already. Going to be shooting that this summer, thanks to our gospel partners. And we're going to be talking about bumper sticker philosophy. These are the slogans that get bandied about all the time that, again, have deeper philosophies undergirding them. When you hear some of these taglines in our society, they regularly have a philosophical system connected to them. Be yourself. Believe in yourself. You can do anything. What is this language? I would tell you, in part, it's romantic. That was the romantic philosophy. You gotta free yourself, get rid of the constraints so that you can be you, because you're the real you is incredible, and you want to live that way, and we've got to free you so you can. Live in the way that makes you happy. Richard Dawkins got into a little bit of a fray on the Twitter sphere. Dangerous place to participate in big ideologies. And he basically said, he apologized for this, so this isn't to bang on him, because we're going to bang on him for his follow-up. But he basically said to a woman who was pondering having a baby, I'd abort it if it has Down syndrome. Have another one. Do the world a favor. It came across really, he apologized for that. He said, that's not really what I intended to say. This is what I intended to say. Quote, listen for romanticism. Obviously, the choice would be yours. For what it's worth, my own choice would be to abort the Down fetus. And assuming you want a baby at all, try again. I think the moral, that's a fascinating word for an atheist to use. I think the moral, so he believes in morals, question, where do they come from? I think the moral and sensible choice would be to abort. If your morality is based, so now he's going to define what his morality is based on. If your morality is based, as mine is, on a desire to increase the sum of happiness and reduce suffering, the decision to deliberately give birth to a Down baby when you have the choice to abort it early in the pregnancy, I don't know what early has to do with it, might actually be immoral from the point of view of the child's own welfare. Yeah, don't miss the obvious. Let's see. Because we think that the child will not have as fulfilled a life as we believe that a human being should, for the sake of the child, we'll kill it. Yeah, makes no sense. But did you hear his romantic worldview? My morality is based on the sum of happiness. So decisions, values, morals are determined by what makes me happy. Can we all just see the Achilles heel in that worldview? You know what makes me happy today? I want to take your stuff. You know, we were out for a walk the other night, and there's a couple in our development. They've got a pergola. Mine! I'm just going to go take it. That's what makes me happy. That's the problem with Richard Dawkins' worldview, despite the fact that it is also cold and heartless. You would probably be condemning yourself as a mother to a lifetime of caring for an adult with the needs of a child. But notice the language. He's talking about an adult, and he's talking about a child. He doesn't talk about a zygote. He doesn't talk about an elephant. He knows it's a human being. And so what is his argument? It's going to be a lot of work. Kill it. It's as simple and as cruel as that, Dawkins wrote. Your child would probably have a short life expectancy, but if she did outlive you, you would have the worry of who would care for her when you're gone. No wonder most people choose abortion when offered the choice. Yep, because they're romantics and they're selfish and they want to do whatever it is that makes them happy and provides them with the easiest life possible. One last thing from Richard Dawkins. in his explanation for why he wrote the tweet that caused such a scuttle on the Twitter sphere. I would never dream of saying to any person, you should have been aborted before you were born. But that reluctance is fully compatible with a belief that at a time before a fetus became a person, the decision to abort can be a moral one. Okay. When does it become a person? I support those philosophers, he said, who say that, for moral purposes, there's that word, an adult, a child, and a baby should all be granted the rights of a person. An early fetus, before it develops a nervous system, should not. Okay, so a nervous system, I realize it's more complex than this, but there are many people who suffer with nerve damage and with nerve problems all throughout their body. Can we kill them? No. How is it that Richard Dawkins has determined it's a nervous system that moves it from being a fetus to being a human being? Is there a switch? Is there an addition? Is there a performance value that they now possess that they didn't, which is also a feeble explanation and some sort of desire to justify killing a person? Well, they can't perform right. They can't contribute correctly. Yikes. This is Foreigner. Cold as ice. Unbelievable. Richard Dawkins, a romantic. Who knew? More celebrity news for your consideration, and we've got lots of it. Friel, I wish you didn't. When you, by the way, when you click on these articles for these things, when you see these stories and it's like, oh, okay, I'd like to read about that. I'd like to see what they have to say about that. I'd like to follow that People story. Wow. Do they ever have images that pop up that are really dangerous and really kind of tricky? They are really seamy out there in People world. Let's get back to celebrity news, shall we? Vodi Bakum made the news. Wait a second, he's a Christian. He can't be famous. Well, when you write an article in the New York Post, that's pretty popular. New York Post writing this article, letting him write this article. Why anti-racism zealots are trying to silence black voices like mine. I don't know if you've observed this, but Dr. Vodi Bakum is black. And he is somebody who is opposed to critical race theory, social justice, as we have it defined for us today. This made it to the New York Post. He writes, these days, I'm stifled, not because of the religion I practice, but because of the one I reject. Isn't that fascinating? We can paint CRT and social justice as a religion. Then don't you impose your religion on me. The religion of anti-racism, this is a word you've got to be on the alert for, was a corporation, it was a university, it was another one of those stories where we've got to get rid of these people on staff because there are too many of them. And therefore, we've got to fire people based on their skin color so that we can get more people of a different skin color in. What is that? It's called anti-racism. That's not discrimination, according to modern-day definition. That is doing what is right to level the playing field. It's called anti-racism. And so you can treat, for instance, white people poorly, fire them simply because of the color of their skin, to replace them with somebody who has a different color of skin. That's not discrimination, silly rabbit. That's anti-racism. Get used to the term. Vodi says it's now the established church of academia, government, and media and business practicing anti-racism. The elites of our society urge us to elevate black voices. They don't want to elevate all black voices, though. Only those that subscribe to the creed of critical race theory. If you don't avow what our society is infected, that it is infected with systemic racism and that white supremacy, white privilege, white fragility are the root of all the problems that black people face, then you're a heretic. Your consciousness is white and therefore oppressive, no matter how black your skin may be. Vodi, I'm a descendant of slaves and a child of the Great Migration, but anti-racists will tell you that I'm not really black. He suffers from internalized racism, trying to curry favor with white people, and so he's called a sellout, traitor, or Uncle Tom, or skinfolk, but not kinfolk. be praying for celebrity Vodi Bakum. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.